Hello, and welcome back to the Dungeons & Dragons Podcast UK. My name is Yasmin, and I will be the DM.
Hi, my name's Colin, and I play Kewin de Greymont, a paladin from Gavany.
Hi, I'm Spencer. I play Caddo Chasseur, a cleric also from Gavany.
Hi, I'm Brian, and I play Ogvar Shorefoot, a ranger from Keswick.
Hi, my name is Samantha, and I play Elora Greyvale, a sorcerer from Nephalia.
On Secrets of the Silver City, our sorceress tried to shroud her face in shadow, but with a canny cleric, perceptive paladin and resourceful ranger in the party, there was no escape for Elora, as they all spotted a slight sheen beneath the brim of her hat, and her ruse with the relic was run. The grim realities of accommodating her new accessory were not for the faint-hearted, and as Elora explained the responsibilities of repatriation together with the regular maintenance required, behind them, in the jar filled with holy water, her own beautiful blue eye stared silently back at them as it gently bobbed about. Ruth revealed the amount of magical wealth still missing from her inventory, the likes of which was almost beyond belief and left our adventurers agog. A little later, Kewin de Greymont exercised his culinary skills as our paladin put on a pinny and, not for the first time this trip, helped a holy lady in the kitchen. Episode 80, Covert Cathars and Parchment Promises.
Okay, well, I shall look after the kitchen. It should be ready in a couple of hours. You'll hear the stampede arrive. I shall give you a call as well. But if you want to go and use the room upstairs, the main room, then please feel free. If Gerhardt's there, just, you know, just
when you say stampede, has the dinner not actually been killed yet? Or am I just misunderstanding your meaning?
Chopped up the meat.
No, dearie. All of our cathars.
Oh,
it is a veritable stampede.
I'm sorry, I'm feeling a little fuzzy at the moment.
Fine,
you have to
excuse me.
So, you have to excuse her. She's never been in a seminary.
So, where Gerhardt is that the war room?
Effectively, yes. If he's still in there, just either ignore him or prop him in a corner. It doesn't really matter.
Okay. Right. Off we go.
Right. Okay, so Laura's going to follow.
Yeah, Kewin. So you all go back up to your war room.
War room.
Woohoo! Gerhardt has vacated. He's gone. God knows where.
Dead. Foxhole.
But he has disappeared. Okay, so this is where you get into the nitty gritty planning stage. You don't have to do this in character. You can come out of character if you want to do this. You've got 2.5 hours, which you're going to spend on your initial planning. What are you doing now?
Well, I think Laura's already suggested that one of the things I should do first is actually confirm.
Right, okay, so you've gone upstairs, you've started your planning, you've got a couple of hours till dinner, it's about 3:30, so you've got about 2.5 hours until dinner time. In that 2.5 hours, you've decided you want to send a group out to find information on the party. That's going to take them approximately 4 hours with a charisma score required of 12. However, as part of that 4 hours, you will get information back after the first hour, which is the very basic information of when the party is happening. You've also decided you want to send a group out to scout the sewers. And this will take them approximately 7 hours. It requires a 14 dexterity score and 8 con score. So the people you've given me, the list of people here, for the party, you want to send out Eindrini, Roman, Alia, Thoruna, Thoria, and Sigland, and they should cover the party information. They will be able to get that information to you within the 4 hours. For the sewer scouts, you've sent out Khalid, Gerlok, Gwen, Sigrid, Lars, Aster, Hall, and Gizup.
Gizup.
Yep. And they will be able to scout the sewers for you successfully in that time.
You know what Gizup does? Oh, that's that, isn't it? He stands at the little steps and goes,
Gizup.
All right, you all happy with that?
Yes. Well,
so they're our first two teams out.
Yep, so you send them out as soon as you possibly can. So within the first hour of your planning, these two teams have gone out. Mm-hmm. It's about halfway through your planning session, you get information back from the party info about what time and what day. So the party is indeed taking place in three days' time, so you've got tomorrow, the day after, and the day after that. It is taking place at, it's starting at roughly 6:30 p.m. the day after that. So the third day.
So 18:30, okay.
After tomorrow, as they call it. And it's taking place at 6:30 in the evening. So at that point in time, you know, at around 6 o'clock, it will be quite dim lighting. It will be dark.
Getting dark.
And that is the only information. That is when the party is starting officially. So there may still be some variation. You might get people turn up early. You might get people turn up later. But the party officially starts at 6:30. Okay, and that's
so. How does this come back to us? So do we?
So that information comes back to you. You sent out how many people for the party? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people.
Six people out on the chat.
You sent 6 people out for the party, out to find information about the party. So you probably have one of these Cathars comes back and reports to you. They pop their head in. It's, let's say for the sake of argument's sake, it's Roman. He pops his head in. He's quite formal. And he's like, sir.
Wearing a toga.
He says to you, sir, information come back. The party will start at 6:30 sharp, officially start, and it will be on the day after tomorrow. So he gives you, he just pops his head in, gives you, and then he will disappear back out, and he will join back out with the people. So the way you've tasked these people, you've got the list together, and you've probably gone to Ruth and said, right, Ruth, I want these people. Can you get them sorted? And Ruth have gone, yeah, sure, no worries. And she's probably sent them off with like little packed lunches, packed dinners.
See, told you, packed lunches. Mm-hmm.
So, now that he's just popped his head in, we now know that this is definitely confirmed for 3 days' time. So that's, well, that's a good starting point.
Mm. Yes, at least we know for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, once we get the people back from the sewers, we can see if that's viable or not. Because if it's not viable, then we'll have to think of something else.
It's one option, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, once we've done the recce of the house itself, I mean, we might discover that there's a bloody great back door. So, we shall see. But the sewers clearly is a discreet way in if it's an option. But we won't know until much later tonight. So I suggest probably that they're not going to be back until about 10 o'clock this evening, those guys. So I would recommend we get ourselves down to the arena and get the information we wanted down there, probably ourselves.
Should have enough time before dinner, so that would probably fill
everybody else is out. So if we eat early and then get ourselves to the arena for sort of, it was 7, wasn't it? It got busy last time.
Yeah, I think so. That's what time we...
It's when the ladder maintenance started, yes.
That's right,
if we check in with Ruth and make sure we can have an early supper,
then
we can probably get going.
Well, I think she's doing. I think she's doing supper for about 5
yeah,
o'clock, something
with
like
you
that.
About 5 o'clock. So you've had this 2.5 hours planning.
Excellent.
So
time for seconds.
Yeah, you're about an hour in when you're having this conversation. Roman's just popped his head in. He's just giving the information. You're about an hour in. So it's about 4:30 now.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really much we can do until that point. So we can just sit and hope that somebody comes back with some more information between now and then, I guess.
Yeah, well, I can always sharpen my swords, etc. But when we get down there, might it be an idea to see if we can find that old lady again? Because that potion of hers for the old stiffy stuff was actually rather good, wasn't it?
I've got a bit of.
It's not just me, is it?
I heard something different. Yeah.
What?
Did you say sniffy stuff or stiffy stuff?
Sniffy. He sounded like Spiffy stuff.
He did sound like Spiffy stuff.
Trying very hard not to react.
For once, Spencer withheld himself there. Look.
Sorry,
guys. Is it a blue pill?
No, it was that Stiffy stuff you sniffed up your nose.
He's getting worse.
I'm going to stick with my peg. My peg worked fine.
Okay.
I've got one potion, but I'm thinking if we're going to use that on the night, I think I might just have to, stick a bit of material up each nostril, to be honest. I've got some material, Q, in here. If you want me to rip up some material, we can just shove some material up us.
I bought a peg as well as one of those potions.
Oh, I didn't get the peg. I'm just gonna have to stuff a bit of material up my nose.
Kieran, I've just had a thought. I don't wish to be disparaging about the kind of people we might find in the arena, but I have a sneaking suspicion that the young lady you're looking to talk to isn't the most honest of characters. If you took that sword that glows...
What young lady?
I thought there was a young lady we were looking for down in the arena to ask questions
you
of.
You don't know about that. None of you know about that.
I haven't got to that bit.
She hasn't actually. Laura hasn't mentioned anything to any of you.
So why would we? Why on earth would we be talking about going back down to the arena unless she'd told us why we were going? In the hour and a bit that we've just done planning.
Because, so she suggested to you that them
Gerhard suggested.
Gerhard had suggested that you might find things on the underground. Esther had suggested. So Esther would have come back in this time as well. By the way, she hasn't just disappeared and like been lost to the.
She has paid the bill.
She's paid the bill and she came back.
Our new favourite person.
She didn't.
Is she sober?
In which case, let me rephrase that. Most of the people going in the underground.
Make me a wisdom check.
Me? Oh Christ!
Surely it's a constitution check for Esther.
No, he's making me a wisdom check.
Wisdom is my bad one.
No,
it's not what I mean. No. Yeah, that's going to be a 4.
You're about to accuse Esther of being pissed. And Esther isn't going to be pleased.
With a wisdom check of 4, you look at Esther and... Actually, you know what? Everyone make me a wisdom check. Exception of... Oh, well, you've just made me one.
No.
Old God.
Wouldn't be much better.
Alora's thrown a 3 minus 1 because she's really not very wise, and that's a whole 2.
I'm a 6 all in.
I'm a 19.
God,
Kewin's paying attention.
Esther comes back in at some point in the evening or the afternoon. Esther comes back in. It's probably about an hour after she said she was going to pay the tab. She comes back in, and all of you are kind of like, oh, hi, Esther. Kewin, looking at Esther, she's like, that's great. She is a little bit sozzled.
Esther, when you paid the bill, did they give you... did you have a couple more of those Shirleys?
With compliments of the bartender.
Oh, with compliments. Oh.
Oh, my God, Esther. Oh, my God.
I'm vain.
Okay. I think you maybe should be eating when the soup comes. I'd stick mainly to the bread, try and soak everything up.
That sounds like a perfect idea, dearie.
You didn't meet Arvis in there again by any chance, did you?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Well, Arvis said she was going to her former employers to ask.
Yeah, I was just checking. Bearing in mind,
Esther drifts off into a corner. She's quite happy there on her own. She's perfectly fine on her own.
I'm going to lean across the table and say, I think she'd probably team up quite well with the Bish.
I didn't get too close because, the little alcoholic breath might have...
Fumes.
Well,
affected me.
You might need some of that Pops brew.
Anyway, Kewin, so as I was saying, all these people down in the arena, they don't strike me as the most honest of chaps.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, you're going down to the... are we all going to the arena?
Oh, yes.
Okay, if we go down there... I'm really sorry, guys. There was something that went on when we went to the arena the other night. How can I put this? I was looking for something specific, and... Well, I tracked down Let's say it was a woman. Less than.
Oh, you were after women as well. No, you don't understand.
Let me explain. I was looking for something specific, something that I personally want, and I.
It's not sounding any better, Alora.
I met somebody called Giz. I tracked down somebody.
Still not getting any better, Alora.
No. Caddo. You see, this is typical of you. What you have to understand is, look, when you go down there, we need to look for somebody called Giz, okay? These are kind of shady characters, she knows shady characters. There's no way that she couldn't lie straight in bed. She's one of those, I'm sure. But, you know.
Oh my God!
I repeat, Alora, you're not making any better for yourself.
I'm getting a bit confused. Specific items. I mean, lying straight in bed.
Yeah, I mean, when you say not what? Straight, do you mean in a Y shape or a...
What? While I was this going on while I was fighting?
I missed it entirely, Kewin. I mean, if I'd noticed, I would have got a pictogram.
I thought that.
You brought this on you
together. Obviously, I've not gone down to have a gap and fight, but obviously,
Listen,
be sensible.
God, they've gone.
I wondered why she's got so many corks.
Nah, listen. Guys, listen, right. We go down to the underground arena, need to find somebody called Giz. She has contacts in the underground arena. She is, let's say she's roguish, okay? I was looking to obtain something specific for myself, a personal belonging that I have been looking for a long time, okay? I wasn't willing to pay her the money. I may or may not have told you this story before, I can't remember, but her name is Giz, and we need to find her, because if there's anybody that might be able to help...
Anyway, Kewin, as I was trying to say, they're thoroughly unprofessional, all these people down the arena. I didn't find any of them particularly, savoury or sanitary. And I was just thinking...
The bish
has got that sword that glows in the dark when they tell a fib, and that might be really handy to us when we're questioning people.
It could just be an extra weapon, you
yeah,
know.
You just carry it. Nobody would notice on you. I mean, you look like a walking armoury, for heaven's sake.
Yes, it might be quite handy. That.
Yeah. So let's take it with us.
Okay.
You know what I just get an image of in my head? You know those magnetic knife holders? Yes.
that is Kewin. Kewin the knife holder.
Well, hold on. How many of those holy scabbards was there?
Oh, God.
You see, I'm sure you said about 12 or 14.
Yeah, you get
like
one.
I wrote down 10.
You could definitely 10? Cover yourself in them.
Yeah, probably 10, I think it was.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm just thinking. Holy scabbard.
Stop thinking.
I'm just going to be a bristling.
You know the throne on Game of Thrones?
Oh, God.
Imagine Kewin's back looks like that.
It'd be like on that Knives Out thing, wouldn't
Game
it?
Game of Flutes.
Yeah.
On the Knives Out thing, where they've got those swords that are around.
Anyway,
let's make sure we pick it up before we go, Kewin. The glow-in-the-dark sword.
Okay, so is there anything you're doing in the remaining time? They, no one will return to give you any more information before the time is up now. The only exception was you would get that information after 1 hour. So in the time before dinner, are you doing anything in particular? Or are you having any particular conversations? You can retrieve the Sword of Truth.
I might have a quiet chat with Ruth about whether or not she can provide Alora with a chastity belt.
might ask Ruth, in seriousness, if she knows of any documentation retaining to the layout of the
house,
Axum's house. Because Esther said that they'd probably be at the church. Gerhard hasn't got a clue, so we might be asked Ruth, as well as go and fetch him in the sword.
Okay, cool. So you can do that in one sweep because you're pretty sure Gerhardt's useless. So you go to Ruth because she just looks after all the magical items. Ruth is more than happy to lend you truth. She tells you, obviously, she gives you a bit, she reminds you of what it does. But she goes, here you go, just look after it, make sure the blade stays clean and sharp. Better if it doesn't slice through anything for my sanity, but if you must, you must. So she hands you truth. You take it. I'm assuming you strap it onto your hip or back or wherever you put it on.
Just wherever you can find a space.
Put it onto the, because I'll go left to right, it will go on my right hip.
Okay.
So,
yeah. So you strap it on in its scabbard. It's all good. You ask her about. Ask her whether there are any documents.
Ruth. Just wondering. We were looking for any details or specifications of the Axum House. You know, architectural drawings and. We thought that maybe they were held in the church, but...
Yes, you would be correct. They would have been held in the church.
Yeah.
However, all of our important documents were kept in the vault. Those two... I say important documents, things like our personal files and stuff, they are kept with me, and our inventories, they are all kept with me, but things that were of our historical value, for example... architectural drawings of the church, of the layout of our catacombs, everything like that was kept within the vault. So things like, for example, the plans of the Axum House, or the City Lord's Mansion, so to say, were kept in the vault. They too have gone missing.
Okay, so...
I suspect it was part of a large conspiracy as well.
Okay, so I take it that you would like those back as well, because I'd imagine they...
Well, I don't imagine they will exist anymore. I imagine they would have been destroyed by Axum himself. I imagine they would have been destroyed.
Okay,
so, unfortunately, we do not have any official copies remaining. However, I'm sure that in the many years that, I believe you asked about Arturus, you asked about...
Yes.
Yes, he's a bit of a dog. Everyone, his reputation far precedes him in a very vulgar manner. And he has been known before to actually sell or lose his architectural drawings in the process of making them. So it is very probable that there is somewhere a copy or partial copy existing. Because he will do anything for coin to spend on drink and women.
Okay, so we could probably, if he has got anything, we could probably buy it off him.
Potentially, yes, but with the many years ago that the house was built, I'd suggest it's probably long gone. If you're going to find it, it will be in the underground arena or somewhere like that.
Thank you very much. That's absolutely wonderful.
You are quite welcome, my dear. Okay. Oh.
Lovely.
So is there anything else you're doing? Ogvar, are you doing anything?
No, I think Ogvar's just going to get ready to go to the underground arena.
Yep, just prepping. Yep. Elora?
No, I don't think there's anything further. She would perhaps suggest, obviously, as Kewin come back up to the room, presumably.
Yep.
she would maybe suggest at this point... Is there anything else that anybody might need to use or borrow from the church in terms of their magical items? I mean, you have truth, which is...
I'm not sure for this evening.
A good idea.
I'm not sure we need anything for this evening. I mean, we're only information gathering, aren't
we? Yeah,
yeah.
I might have a chat with Colbin.
Yes.
Just to see if he has a view on how easy it is to break into the... He's your fifth level rogue.
Right, yeah. Okay, so you have a chat...
A chat with him about housebreaking, for want of a better term.
Yeah. So he, Colbin himself, he's quite a Weasley-looking guy. He's, of course, dressed in the church's robes.
Is he not off on a task somewhere?
No, he is.
No, he's he's the one we've not picked.
Okay.
Colbin himself, he is quite a wheezy looking guy. He's quite lightweight, not built heavily like a paladin or a cleric, you know, your stereotypical paladin or cleric. He's built quite wry, he's quite weasley looking, and while he is wearing the church's robes, you can see that underneath the robes he is wearing like leather trousers, and like, you know, clearly like he can just whip off his robes and go like and do something criminal. He's a little, you look at him and you wouldn't think church material. He's a bit of a geezer.
He's a bit ooh, a bit ah.
He's a bit geezer. He knows how to break into things, yeah? He's a bit geezer. But he, you know, you start talking to him about things like, you know, breaking into a house. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, with that kind of house, yeah, you know, you might, yeah, it's a bit of a big house. It's a big house, yeah. You might need more plans, you know, get in there. Like, there's a lot of ways. And he gives you, like, you know, he tells you, you know, you can use ascenders and sliders, bolt cutters, portable cranes. He's about these big items. He's like, yeah, you might need some earplugs if you want to go in loud. You might, you know, plug your ears, mate, and boom. He's a little bit feral, you could probably say. But, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, if you... chuck it out a window, if something, you know, chuck it into sewers and pour flotation bags and stuff and float you down, and, you know, get some glass cutters out there and, oh, collapsible grappling hook, I've got one of them. You know, he's all about, you know, all of his sneaky stuff. He is, you know, he's listing off items which, you know, you think, you look at him and you think, do you break into houses on the regular? He's one of those. But he gives you the general opinion of it will be quite difficult to break in, especially regarding guard rotations. Not impossible, but quite difficult. But he very much gives you like a kind of list of stuff you could use, like useful stuff like flash powder and make a quick escape.
I would ask his advice on how you case a joint.
Yeah, okay. He gives you a bit of that. Well, in my experience, if you case a joint, you don't want to be seen, for one. Don't get seen. That's not good. Not good if you get seen. But he basically gives you a bit of a breakdown, like, you know, you want to check out like entrances, you want to check out possible exits, get guard rotation going, yeah, let make sure you know where's where. Consider things like roofs, alternative angles, underneath, can you go over it, under it, through it? You never know. Blow a hole in the wall. Boom! That's what you need earplugs for.
Yeah. So I'm betting if I sent you tomorrow to case the joint, you'd be able to give me the best possible report on how to get in or out of that place.
Yeah, sure thing, geezer. Could do that.
Yeah, I thought you might. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Excellent.
They never sent me out to do much stealing.
Yeah.
Apparently, yeah. Apparently, it's not in the church's.
Well, you watch this space, fella. Tomorrow, you might be my man.
Aye, aye, boss. I need any earplugs.
We'll talk through that once you've told me your view on the best way of getting in.
Sure thing, geezer. And he disappears. Literally, you see a bike poof, and a flash, and he's gone. He's dropped some flash powder, and he's gone. He is so into this. He's like loving it. He's in his element. You think they probably keep him locked away in a cupboard somewhere so he doesn't cause problems. Okay, so you spend a bit of time. You know, you've spoken to Ruth. You've spoken to Colbin. You go down for dinner, you hear the stampede coming for dinner. Well, actually, you don't hear the stampede because most of them are actually out.
Yeah,
so it's very quiet.
There's only one person in.
Yeah, but Ruth calls up to you to say, she's like, food's ready! So you come down, she's made a really hearty stew, really thick gravy, and you've got like the really nice soft bread. And you see at the end of the table, sat in a bit of shame almost, are these three young kind of 14, 15 year old looking Cathars. They're dressed in like kind of shoddy robes, a bit patched up, a bit dirt stained, grass stains around the hem because they're a little bit too long. And you can see they've got their portions of soup, and they also have this rock hard bread from earlier. And when I say rock hard bread, I mean they are literally using, you know, a saw. They are trying to saw through this bread to cut it. And she gives them, you know, you see one of them reach for a bit of soft bread, and she immediately ladle on the back of the hand. Crack, yelp of pain, as Ruth kind of stands there with a disapproving eye. She's got a little pinafore on, one hand on her hip, ladle on the other. And she just looks at them, and they just retreat back to their hard bread. Okay, so you have some food. By the time you finish dinner, you've had a nice conversation with Ruth. She occasionally smacks another one of the little apprentices over the head with a ladle as they try to do something they shouldn't be doing. It's probably been about half an hour. You know, it's probably about half five at this point. What are you doing? Are you just going to wait out until 7, until the arena opens up?
Have we had any more information return?
No, you haven't had any more information return.
In which case, I think probably we are still in the information gathering stage, aren't we? Mm. So until we get more information back, our next port of call is the arena.
I think so.
Okay, so do you want to spend a bit of time resting up, maybe catching a quick nap or something?
Are we going to pretend we're down in the arena for arena-type activities, or are we just going to go straight into information gathering? Because that might give away to the criminal underworld what we're about.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, I could always reappear as Tin Man.
I mean, Tin Man could make an appearance, couldn't he? And then whilst Tin Man's making an appearance, we could do some information gathering whilst the crowd are getting excited about what he's up to.
Yeah.
Because we go straight to him. If we just start asking questions about house plans and parties and everything else going on at the Axum House, he's just as likely to have spies down there as he is anywhere else.
Well, we're mainly looking for kids, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I can't personally see as it makes any difference, because at the end of the day, we're going to go down and ask questions anyway. It doesn't matter whether he's in a ring or not, does it?
Well, I just think it might act as a bit of a distraction, and it might give people a reason to understand why we're down there.
But then again, there are people there just to watch.
Well, the thing is, you could be down there.
You put on a show, fella. You do put. I mean, I've only seen.
Yeah,
you
but
once,
you could but be down there just to gamble, couldn't you, or have a drink, just
well, as long
as we did last time.
So, if we partake in those type of activities,
we'll decide when we're down there.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, to put him in the ring and make him a spotlight and draw attention is probably not. I don't know. Probably not necessary.
I'm just aware that they might have spies down there. They might not do. I mean,
well,
who knows?
I would imagine he's probably employed a few underground people before now.
If we need a distraction and me going in the arena, I'm more than happy. But if not, then we'll just do what we do. Not really fussed. Save my strength.
Hmm.
Well, once we get back, I assume we're going to bed for the evening, aren't we?
Hopefully.
I would imagine we probably need to get a good night's sleep, yeah. Well, certainly I do, anyway.
Okay, so you spend the next kind of, you know, hour and a half, let's say, because you still need to get through the city to get down there. We spend the next kind of hour and a bit just kind of possibly doing a little bit more planning between you, a little bit more plotting, resting up, you know, making sure everyone's all good to go, polishing swords, you know, preparing, trying to patch up your armour. You know, you spend this time just kind of resting, recuperating, taking a quick break. So you start making your way, probably about 6:30 you'll start making your way downtown, getting down there. So is there anything you're doing on your way?
I see we're going in the dockyard way, not down that ridiculous long passageway.
I'd assume so, yeah.
Behind the guild,
yeah.
Yeah.
Are the shops shut?
Oh, there might be a couple left open.
I'm just thinking, obviously the potions of clear breath are they more expensive because it's a captive audience down there? Would we be able to get them cheaper up above before we went down from a...
Potentially.
Could we potentially try and potentially buy some potential potions, potentially?
Potentially, yeah. You'll probably be able to find an apothecary that's still open. It's probably a little less reputable one. Mm. More of a, like, you know, kind of a Roland's pharmacy instead of a Boots.
Okay.
It's a little less reputable. Looks a bit dingy, looks a bit grimy. But they do sell vials of clear breath in there.
Okay.
So, you know, going into a standard apothecary, you're able to get a hold of a vial of clear breath. Give me a charisma check.
No.
Gotta knock that off my money. What is it, 50 gold pieces?
Finish. Oh. Give me a charisma check, please.
All of us or just...
Just you.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, you're asking for it. Just you.
Come on, send someone else to ask. It's not as bad as... That's not the one it looks like, that's actually...
Sure about that?
So, well, no, it, It looks like a one, but it's actually a seven, so that actually gives me a six.
Okay.
Still better than a one.
Still better than a one. yeah, no, it's 50 gold pieces.
Okay, no trouble.
If you'd have beaten a DC of 15, you'd have had it for 25, for 45 pieces.
Okay, I will.
You'd have been able to negotiate it out.
Yeah, Ogvar doesn't do that.
No, Liz.
Do I go in with him? Get what?
I assumed he was getting one for. No? Are you going in to get one?
Anyone's welcome.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I'm relying on my peg again.
Yeah, if we're going past one, I would get a vial of clear breath.
Okay, yeah, you get a vial of clear breath.
Right, 50 gold pieces.
If you want a vial of clear breath, you pay 50 gold pieces for it.
Okay.
Blow mine.
Okay.
Didn't do his charisma.
Yeah, but it was 70 before.
Sorry.
Hmm?
It was 70 before.
Yeah, but that was Pop's Brew.
Pop's Brew works better than Pop's Brew.
Slightly different brew, so it's different effects, so it's just a standard clear breath effect.
I have still got one of those, but I'm not using it at the moment. Right, so yes, Laura would buy one.
Okay, so Laura's buying one, Ogvar's bought one, Kewin isn't.
Oh, I'm pegging it.
Canada's pegging it. Okay. So you get down to the arena, you get down through the sewers. I'm assuming you probably pop your clear breath as soon as it starts smelling a bit pongy.
Yeah.
You pop your peg on. Yep. Okay. So you get down into the arena, you get down there, it is literally just gone 7 o'clock. And people are literally pouring in through every entrance available. They are pouring in. And in fact, the entrance you've gone down, there are people following behind you. You were the first ones to kind of get in this, but you can see a couple of people who've got in front of you. But there are people behind you who followed you down. Okay? So you get in there and people are just pouring into the place. You can see these stands are just getting set up. The braziers have been lit. They've been going for a while. You can tell. But you get this kind of burnt tallowy smell kind of emanating as well. Actually, you can't smell it, so it doesn't matter if you can't smell it. But you've got braziers burning, you've got kind of the noises building. The arena hasn't kicked into place yet. It's very empty, but people are only just pouring in. But yeah, most of these stalls are already set up.
Okay.
So, what are you doing?
Well, I suppose you should lead the way. Laura, you know who we're looking for. You know, this person of ill repute.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. Laura's going to weave her way through the crowd, and she's going to go back to the stands, the merchant stands that she found. It was a less reputable one, and she goes round the side of the stand where she went before.
The stand isn't in the same place.
It's not in the same place.
No. As the three of Kewin, Caddo and Ogvar would be able to tell you, earlier when they went in there, it was empty. There were no stands there.
So she's going to look around and see if she can spot a similar stand.
Okay, now everyone make me a spot check.
Laura,
you can make me a search check, the rest of you can make spot checks.
Oh, bugger. That's a shame. It's a 10, straight 10.
Straight 10.
15.
16 on in.
16 on in. Okay. So as you begin searching, Laura, you're looking around looking for Giz's stand. The rest of you, you're just looking. You're not really sure what she looks like. You're just looking around, looking for anything in particular which looks kind of interesting. Looks like someone who might have an idea. As you are walking around, however, Caddo, you feel a tap on your shoulder.
Oh, I'm quite jumpy. After the last time somebody tapped me on the shoulder.
Okay.
Oh, how jumpy am I feeling? Oh, not that jumpy, I'll just jump round.
Yep. You see, stood in front of you, a man. He's dressed in a kind of robe, and he has a large pack on his back. He looks at you and he smiles with a very benevolent kind of merchant smile. He goes, "Hello there. It's a pleasure to see you again. Not you, sir. I've never seen you before. But it's a pleasure to see the rest of you again."
I take it we all look at him at this point.
Yeah, it's Sato.
Hello there, Sato.
Keep it down.
Sorry.
Well, it's very nice to see you again.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. And he gives you this kind of full grin, this very toothy smile, which it's a bit like looking at a shark. It's a bit of a predator kind of smile. You look at him and you know that he's got something. And it's something you need.
Your ears must have been burning. This is Sato, this is Caddo.
Yes, Caddo, this is Sid. And people the dog.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's not a lot...
You guys appear to know this fella. I'll let you talk to him. I'll edge to the back. So I'm going to stand behind Kewin.
You hiding?
Then I'm going to see if his back glows.
Okay, that's quite cool. Yeah, that's quite cool. Sato looks at you. You have something you need. I have that something. Should we trade?
Well, what have you got that we want? That's my first question.
I'm in possession of some documents, so to say, which may aid you. And Caddo, as you look at Kewin's back, the blade, or hip rather, the blade is not glowing.
Oh, well, there we go. Yeah.
But you're not communicating that out, and he's the only one who's seen this.
Well, it's funny, but we mentioned your name just the other day. Wondered if you were in town.
Yeah, well, I'm wherever you need me to be.
Well, apparently so.
As we're talking, Kewin's going to rest his hand on his right hip, where his sword is, not on his back, and just gently nudge the handle forward.
Yeah.
The see blade, if it glows.
The blade is not glowing.
Right.
So, Sato looks at you. What do you say?
Are you going to show me the documents?
Surely not, no. That is not how a deal works.
No.
I believe you can trust my information. My information was good last time, was it not?
Yes.
It was, yeah.
What would you like for them? What could we trade, so we say?
Well, I do not believe here is the ideal location. I shall be at the church. I shall spend some time with Ruth. When you're finished down here, I shall be waiting.
I have one question. Did Ruth contact you?
No, Ruth does not know me, but she will.
Okay. All right, okay.
As I said, I know everyone.
What is it?
No one knows me.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. When will you be at the church?
I'll be there when you need me. And with that, he turns around, and as he walks into the crowd, everyone make me a spot check.
Got some.
14.
That's a 12 all in.
That'd be a 21 all in.
Ooh, that's nice.
14 all in.
21 all in.
Oh, lovely. Okay.
As he steps into the crowd, a throng of people moves past, and when they clear, it's only a couple of seconds, when they clear off, he is nowhere in sight.
He is most definitely an interesting man.
So how do you know him, people?
We sold him some bits and pieces. We had a few items that were a bit...
Specialist.
Specialist, yes, that's a very good
weaponry word.
Yes.
That was specialist. Okay. Stuff that we wouldn't use.
I'm glad you clarified,
And it was like people just... We didn't want them, and we couldn't sell them. So we asked this, Seda here, and he seems to have or know everything.
He has a habit of appearing like that.
Okay.
Strangely, he just happened to appear when we needed to sell something, didn't he, Kewin?
Yes. And he just happened to appear when we needed something specific.
No real contact point. He just travels around the cities, apparently, but he just... Well, he knows your name.
So where did you see him last?
Well,
Dranao.
Dranao, yes. Oh. In the guild, I believe,
wasn't
it?
Yeah, it was, and that was the first time we met him. He just turned up at our table.
Interesting.
But he's obviously... I don't know how he gets his information. He just does, but... Well, he seemed fairly... I don't know whether straight is the right word.
I did have a look at my sword, and it didn't glow.
No.
So he was obviously telling the truth.
Do we still need to find your bendy lady?
I think we probably don't.
Would you mind if I had a look for that old lady? So I can get some more of that potion.
Oh, Pop, yeah. Well, she was on the entrance at the other side, wasn't she?
Yes, I'll just disappear now.
That's fine. Okay. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Okay, so, Kieran, you disappear off and you begin to travel the opposite direction back towards the pastry the guild used. And yeah, you walk the length of the corridor where you saw her last time, where you first encountered her. You cannot find Pop.
Okay.
You find a lot of unsavoury characters who look like they might be trying to take your money. You don't find Pop.
Okay.
What are the rest of you doing in the meantime? Because it's probably going to take you in about 15-20 minutes to actually walk there and walk back.
Oh, do you want to try that splat the rat thing again? Who was it who tried splat the rat?
Oh, that was me. What?
You're not here.
Good point.
Who was it who tried the splatter out?
Well, I think it was Kieran, wasn't it?
Of course, you two played that daft game with the padlocks, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, quite enjoyed that. I was better at that than I thought.
It was worse than I thought.
Well, I don't know. You weren't far behind me. Still managed it, though, didn't you?
Oh, yes, of course.
Well, we better not stray too far, because there's a lot of people down here, and we'd best wait for Kieran to get back.
Everyone make me a spot check, apart from Kieran.
Why am I so shit at spot checks? Oh, actually, no, that one's gone all right.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Hey, thank you. I mean, I needed this evening. I mean, you've given me indigestion, but...
18.
Six.
That's a 22 all in.
Ah, beautiful.
At last.
Six all in from me.
And you're moaning at a 22.
Yeah, but my rolls have been crap all night.
Okay, so as you're stood there kind of waiting around, Esther hasn't accompanied you. She's still partially sozzled in a corner. But as you're kind of stood there waiting for Kieran to return, you are literally just milling about with no real reason to be stood there, but you don't know what to do or where to go because you don't want to lose Kieran. It's that kind of awkward stage, you know, when your friend goes into a shop and you're stood there going, I'm not doing it. It's one of those, they disappear and you're like, you've lost your purpose. But as you're kind of stood there, Caddo, you're looking around, kind of taking it all in, perhaps like watching your back a bit, like, is Sato going to turn up again? But Laura and Ogvar, as you're stood there and you're looking around, you are just, you know, kind of, oh, what's happening over there? Both catch sight amidst the crowds of the uniform of the city guard.
Oh. Laura, do you see that uniform?
Well, yeah, I didn't notice them down here last time, but then I wasn't really looking for them. Well,
there are a few of them. They all tend to be milling around the crowd, but it just tends to be one solitary or one or two solitary people. Both male and female, but they're not kind of patrolling in pairs. It is just kind of one person slipping amidst the crowd.
They got all their ears.
You don't know. But they're not wearing like the full guard's uniform. They're wearing just like the tabard or the cape roughly slung over the shoulder.
Okay, so they're trying to sort of like be a bit inconspicuous.
Either that, or they are people who would normally come down here and they just, you know, they're these roughly hired guards they're just, you know, they're just milling about the place. You're not sure. You don't know their purpose for being here. You only know that they're wearing the uniform, or at least part of the uniform.
Do you think that we ought to kind of just leave the underground arena as soon as Kieran gets back, maybe? Just, I don't know what they can gain from seeing us here, but it might do to stay completely off the radar.
Right, that may be wise, yes. Don't arouse any suspicion. Get our faces known, it wouldn't be good this close to her.
Well, you'd have thought they'd have noticed us when we were down here the other night, but somehow I didn't see any. I didn't notice any, but that doesn't mean they weren't here.
I can't imagine we're on any sort of watch list just yet. All we've had is a brief encounter with two unsavoury guards near the house.
I can't imagine that Sado's been talking to guards. No. I don't know, there's something about that guy. He keeps everything to himself. I don't think he'd be spreading anything around anywhere else. Doesn't strike me as being that way inclined.
Talking of him, does your new toy work?
Well, there's a lot of bright...
Could you tell what, for example, whether or not Sato is a good person or a bad person?
Don't know. Could I? Would I have noticed that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you would...
Rough alignment, is it?
Yeah, I'd say that probably when you're looking at people now with your new eye, you notice that there is a faint glow around them. So, for example, around Caddo and Kewin and Ogvar and Esther, and even the people in the church, you have this very kind of pure silvery glow. But around a lot of the people in here, it's not like a in-your-face glow, it's just like a slight kind of... There's a slight glow. But so most of the people down here are kind of... They're in this kind of, you know, very kind of... I say white glow. It's the difference between the silver and white is noticeable. The silver, it looks like moonlight. It's this kind of bluey, silvery hued. The white glow is just plain white. A lot of people are just plain white. They've got this kind of plain white aura around them. A couple of them have this very red, negative looking aura.
Like a ready black glow.
Sato, when you look at him, doesn't have glow at all.
No. I can see slightly different colours of almost like an external aura around them. Just a slight glow. So there's like silvery ones and there's white ones, but and there's red ones, but he has everybody got a kind of glow about them, but he just didn't.
Yeah.
Everybody has a type.
Some of them, when you look at them, they've got like this kind of white glow, but it ever so often wavers, and it's only a couple you notice. But you might be able to take a guess. It's probably someone trying to conceal their aura.
Right. Okay.
Trying to, you know, using some form of magical item, whatever, to pretend they're not, you know, not the person they are.
Oh, Caddo, I can see some kind of aura with everybody, really. As I look at everybody, everybody seems to have one.
Oh, what colour am I?
But Sato didn't. There was no aura there, so unless it's magically concealed...
Oh, what colour am I then?
Well, you're just... Would he be silvery? Because he's...
Yeah, he's silvery. Yeah. You can see him silvery. What you tell him is something entirely different.
You have like a silvery aura around you.
Oh, sounds good.
Well, you are quite a devout person.
I'm a person.
No, no, no.
Okay.
But there is something.
You lost down somebody else's passage.
But
oh god.
But there. But there is something else about all of this. It's like. I know that this is giving off a very slight. There's a very faint glow from the eye, and I think that I need to. Maybe find some kind of eyewear to try and disguise it slightly, because especially in a place that's kind of shadowy or dark, it's going to be really obvious.
What colour are you getting from the city guardsmen?
Oh, wow.
You look at the city guards, or the few that are wearing city guards, you're probably just slipping in and out. And they are a bit like fish, they're darting in and out through crowds. They're, you know, you can tell they're quite used to manoeuvring around in this area. But you look at them, and their aura is a very faint kind of pinkish tinge. You'd say it's probably kind of like a neutral to evil.
Right, so you're going on a scale of like, the more silvery, the more pure, and the darker.
You see a couple who are very, not very dark, but they're kind of a pale red, and you think they're probably, and looking at them as well, you look at them and you think they're probably not up to good, they're not good people. But like looking at Kewin and Caddo, I mean you're not silver. Looking at Kewin now, but having a look at him, they are very silver, and looking at Ogvar as well, that he's very, very silver. But you look at it, it's like a kind of a shade basically, a colour variation, it goes from silver to white to red.
There's definitely a pinkish tinge about them. It seems to me that what I'm seeing is that the more silver things are, the more pure something is. But there are shades of white where people would appear like a neutral aura. And then it kind of goes through tinges of pink into sort of red. So it seems to be on that kind of a scale. Well, that's what I'm getting from it at the moment. I haven't had much experience with it, but that's what I'm getting at the moment. And they are definitely kind of pink to red tinge. Some are pinkish, some are most definitely got a red tinge, so...
Definitely might be handy, that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It's going to take some getting used to.
Okay. So as you're having this conversation, Cuban eventually arrives back.
I couldn't find her. I hope she's okay. Think.
She's probably made quite a lot of money and doesn't need to come down here tonight.
She had a night off, probably.
Yeah, could do. Yes, yes.
Maybe she's found a bath. I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
Perhaps she's brewing up.
Oh, yeah,
could be. Yes. Yeah, might be making another batch.
She was brewing much of it.
Yeah, while you were gone, we discovered that Alora's new toy makes her see people in different colours.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Could be handy, couldn't it? So you know when people are telling fibs, and she knows what colour they are.
Well, it seems to give off their general aura of how their alignment is, maybe. So, ranges from silver through to white, and then pinks into reds, so it would appear.
That could be handy. If they're on the... if we talk to them, and you see that their aura is bad, and I see that they're lying... And you know, they're totally, that aura is not the right colour. I'll just hit on with my sword.
So, do we think we still need to find this friend of yours? Well, the friend's probably a loose acquaintance.
I think we probably don't, to be honest with you. I think Sado's going to have what we're looking for. And somehow, I'm not surprised because I did mention him. I did mention to see whether it would be worth finding him. He did say, when we were in Drenau, if there's something we need.
I mean, it's very handy. I mean, whenever we need anything going forward, if we mention him, turns up and we get what we want. That's
yeah, the thing is, he probably knows exactly. If he knows what we want, he knows what we're doing. God knows how. I mean, he said he was going to come and see us at the church. And he mentioned Ruth. And I, you know, you heard what he said.
Mm.
Do you know her? No, I've never met her. But he knew you. He knew your name. He knows your dog.
Yeah, that was wildly disconcerting. I mean, it's a brave man who's tapping me on the shoulder at the moment after what happened this morning.
Yeah, he probably knows that too. I wouldn't put it past. I don't know what it is with him. I can't work it out. But sometimes with these things, it's best not to ask. If there's someone that can help, then just use them for that.
He wasn't kidding, was he? Anything down here on fair or?
Oh, no, I think I'm all right. I think we came down here for the information, and it turns out that Saitholm must have it, so I
suggest we make a hasty retreat out of here. There are guards down here. I didn't notice them the other night, but as I said, I wasn't looking for them, but I can definitely notice them tonight.
Okay.
Let's keep a low profile and just do one, I think.
Okay. Well, right, home then.
So we're going to make our way back out.
Okay, so you make your way back out.
And I would have taken the potion, by the way. I didn't just buy it and put it in my pocket. Yeah, I would have used it.
So in total, by the time you get back up to church, you've probably spent an hour down here. So it's probably about 8 o'clock when you get back to the church. You get back to the church and you walk up into your war room. And as you open the door to the war room, you see sat in one of the chair leaning back on two legs, feet on the table, bowl of soup in hand, pack on the floor, Sato.
Ah, I wondered if we might see you here.
And he's got his spoon is in his mouth. His hands free, spoon's in his mouth, mouthful of soup.
He did tell us, to be fair.
He looks at you, he gives you a thumbs up and points at the table. And on the table is a piece of parchment, or two pieces of parchment. And when you walk up to the table, you see these.
Ooh.
Blimey. Wow.
That seems to be just what we're looking for.
With evening drawing ever closer, our team begin deciding on how best to deploy the Cathars at their disposal. One group was given the grisly gambit of enduring endless excrement as they assumed a less than pleasant pursuit in traversing the sewer tunnels below the Selhof city streets, whilst another were tasked with gathering intel on the Axum party particulars. After a hearty and homely supper, it was back to the arena with a much-needed map in mind, However, our heroes had barely arrived before a familiar face found them and proffered the valuable piece of parchment that they had been looking to procure. After appearing so suddenly, Sato's exit was equally elusive, and upon arrival back at the cathedral, the companions find the man that moved in mysterious ways making himself most comfortable in their holy household.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Having you as a listener means everything to us. So, whichever streaming service you choose to listen to us with, please give us a like, subscribe, and follow. We would love for you to join us on our Facebook or Twitter page, where you can catch up with all of our latest news. While you're waiting for the next episode of Secrets of the Silver City, why not pop over to our website, where you can read all of the information about this campaign, from backstories to setting. All of the links are in the bio of this episode. Join us again next week for the next instalment. Thank you for listening.